We'll start with the news of the day. Not often that cricket gets a look in this time of year, but it certainly made waves today with the announcement of Australia's T20 World Cup squad. It's in the Caribbean. It starts in June. And one of the premier cricket journalists around at the moment, he's from Code Sports, and he's one of our great friends. Love getting him on our show to talk about it all, and that is Daniel Cherney. G'day, Dan.
G'day, Jack and Joel. Good to be with you.
Great to chat to you again, mate. And now, this is, we're to always talk about who's not in the T20 squad, and this time it's Jake Fraser-McGurk. He's had a ripping IPL season, mate. Tell us, what is your news on, or why isn't he in it?
Look, ultimately, he's not in it because he bats in a part of the game, or his role in the team is one in which Australia is well-stocked and has a lot of experience, and that is at the top of the order where essentially Mitch Marsh, who's the captain and has been rubber stamped as captain for this tournament, having been T20 captain since last August, and it was probably always a fait accompli. Travis Head, who's been in incredible form in the IPL as well, and David Warner, who has not been in great IPL form but is, you know, obviously one of Australia's greatest cross-format players and T20 players, and has performed very well at World Cups in the past. The three of them have got the spots, and from there, they are the sort of the incumbents in the 11 at the top of the order. And then from there, Australia just, I suppose, went with some flexibility for the fringe spots. So the guys on the edge, the guys who probably will be reserves. We're talking Josh Inglis, the backup keeper, which is understandable to have a second wicket keeper, and particularly one who could you know, certainly at a pinch play up or down the order as a specialist batter behind Matthew Wade. Then you've got Ashton Agar as the second spinner, understandable in the West Indies in particular, and then a point of difference with the left arm. They're expecting the decks to turn a bit over there. Nathan Ellis, who's been a very good player in the Big Bash League and played well for Australia when he's had the chance in the past, and is a very good Jeff bowler, is probably the spare quick behind the big three. Then the last spot has gone to Cameron Green, who has probably flattered to deceive a touch in T20 cricket over the years, but has had a reasonable back end to the IPL over the last couple of weeks. But ultimately, you know, a player like Cameron Green, his ability to bat ball in the field and then also to sort of go up and down the order a bit, I think his versatility, flexibility that he potentially offers was too hard to leave out. So in the end, as you touched on, Jake Fraser-McGurk not in the squad, nor is Matt Short, the back-to-back reigning Big Bash League Player of the Year for the Adelaide Strikers. Steve Smith's missed out as well. Mm. So the end of an era on that front in terms of his T20 involvement. He's been a first time he's been left out of a senior Australian squad on form in a long, long, long time. The couple of sort of fringe bowlers, Tanvi Sanger, who wouldn't have been too far away as a backup spinner. Spencer Johnson has been a very impressive bowler. Xavier Bartlett's not a million miles off. So there are a few guys that are unlucky, but Fraser-McGurk is probably the unluckiest given his red hot IPL form, albeit not over a huge period.
Hey Daniel, there's so much to unpack there. I mean, you mentioned a plethora of players that were stiff to miss out, but one player that you did mention was Mitch Marsh and his new role as captain. How excited are you to see Mitch Marsh captain on the big stage?
Oh, look, I'm very happy for Mitch Marsh. He's ultimately a very likable guy. I mean, that is one thing. We see his popularity, and there was that infamous line that he gave, infamously booed on Australia on Boxing Day back in 2018. When he came on to bowl, when he replaced Peter Hanscom in the side, which was not a particularly popular decision at the MCG. And then he had that line after he took the five for the Ashes in 2019, where he goes, "I'm the most hated man in Australia." And, you know, there was a long time where it was unfulfilled potential from Mitch Marsh, but you know, his form across the formats over the last two or three years has been exceptional. Yeah, he consolidated his reputation hugely by with his feats in the 2021 T20 World Cup, where Australia won that title for the first time. Has then been outstanding in Test cricket over the last 12 months since his mid-Ashes recall, and also very important at the One Day World Cup in which Australia won last year. So, a real a fantastic three format player and won the Allan Border Medal and was a very popular and deserved winner. So, look, you know, he doesn't have he's got a fair bit of captain's experience, not necessarily that much at an international level, but he has captained WA a fair bit in the past. He's captained the T20 side on and off over the last little period, dating back to last August which was Australia's first T20 internationals since the last World Cup when Aaron Finch bowed out. So he's got a fair bit of experience there. Look, it's a different sort of sport to be captaining. You know, obviously everything moves very fast, but you don't have quite as many decisions to necessarily make. And it is sort of somewhat formulaic and matchups and stats data-based. You know, he's got a lot of experience around him, including that side. And you've got people like Matthew Wade behind the stumps. Pat Cummins, obviously, is the Test one-day captain. Thereabouts as well. David Warner's got immense experience. So there's no shortage of people with plenty of T20 cricket experience and then leadership experience that can help him out there. So they're very excited. Like the nature of Mitch Marsh is such that he will try to make it a really relaxed environment, much like Pat Cummins has as well, and much like Andrew McDonald and George Bailey have. And that has been a real hallmark of this side. That's they try to keep things very calm. It'll be great. And it would be a hell of a culmination of the Mitch Marsh redemption arc if we see him lifting the World Cup trophy or the T20 World Cup trophy aloft come the end of June.
Yes, it would be a fantastic redemption story and just fantastic to see it. How much of this group is playing IPL, Dan? Is it more than half, or where do these guys get their cricket in from between now and June when it starts?
Look, most of the squad are IPL contracted, or at least on an IPL list. Not all, because there's a real range. I mean, I'm happy to run through them. You've got the likes of Pat Cummins and Travis Head, who are playing at the Sunrisers Hyderabad under Australian assistant coach Daniel Vittori, both doing very well. Mitchell Stark's been patchy with the Kolkata Knight Riders, but he is playing regularly. Glenn Maxwell had a very poor start to the tournament and dropped himself from the Royal Challengers Bengaluru, but has come back. Cameron Green was in and out of that side as well. Warner and Marsh have both been injured with the Delhi Capitals. Marsh has gone home. Josh Hazlewood isn't playing following the birth of his child, so he's still a chance to go over there as a replacement player. Adam Zampa pulled out on the eve of the tournament with the Rajasthan Royals for workload management, just sort of well-being issues, but he's fine for the World Cup. I think he just needed a bit of a spell. Tim David's been going okay for the Mumbaians, probably hasn't been shooting the lights out, but has had the odd moment here or there. And then Wade at Gujarat and Nathan Ellis at Punjab Kings have both been pretty much spending the time on the bench on the pine. And then there's a couple of others just about all of them. Josh Inglis doesn't have an IPL deal. They'll have a training camp in the lead up. So to Ashton Nagar, who's actually turned down a contract with Western Australia after losing his CA contract. And actually, Marcus Stoinis is the other one, who's been playing for the Lockdown Super Giants under Justin Langer and has actually done very well in recent weeks. Made a big century in a win, I think it was last week, and then made more runs overnight and has been taking the odd wicket here or there. So a real mixed bag, having run through them all there. You've got a whole gamut from not playing at all to sitting on the bench to pulling out to possible replacement player to one guy's gone home, a couple are dominating. So, it's quite a wide range, but... You just hope. The one thing you're a little bit concerned is make sure they're not burnt out. But I suppose by the same token, most of the best players in the world are playing in this competition, and there is also a very good. It also serves as a pretty good build up for T20 cricket. Most of them will very much have their iron, so to speak.
Yeah. Well, where do you rank this squad? All the teams got named today as well as part of the guidelines. Now, do you think this Australian squad can go all the way compared to all the other teams that have lodged their lists?
Yeah, I think they can. I mean, look, at the end of the day, this is a side that won the World Cup against the odds in 2021. But most of that team, I think this features 11 members of that squad in the 15. So that's a fair bit. They're not the reigning champions because in 2022 they were bundled out in the group stage after losing to New Zealand and then they had a rain effect match against England and they missed out on net run rate to go through. And then a lot of the players from the one day World Cup winning side from last year are still there as well. So I think it's 12 of those. So I think Australia are right in it. Are they favourites? No, probably not. I mean, look, England have been very good in this format, albeit were very poor at the T20, at the one day World Cup last year. So they're a little bit on the nose from white ball cricket. India, always competitive and right up there. Look, we're not talking huge margins here. I think, you know, you could probably throw a bit of a blanket over four or five sides. New Zealand are always pretty competitive. South Africa on their day, certainly could fire. The West Indies were poor last time, but there's still a bit of firepower there. So, look, I would have certainly Australia in the top three or four sides heading in. Probably second favourite for mine behind India. Particularly in T20 cricket, when there's a knockout, once you get to the knockout stages, there's probably five or six teams I could see in the semi-finals. And then once you get to that point, the margins, as I said, are very fine.
They are. Now, just to wrap it up, Dan, would have you had Jake in your squad if you were naming it?
Look, I think I would have. I've been thinking about this a bit. I probably would have. I just think his form is so good and that, he may be the... I mean, it's hard to know. It's a very small sample size. In the IPL, they're playing with the impact sub rule, which means that teams are effectively playing an extra batter, which means that players are playing with more abandon and there are more risks being taken. And it's a little bit of a different ball game, especially with the smaller venues and very flat pitches. But look, just the numbers have been so astronomical, and he's been just on such a tear. I probably would have had him in. The question then is at whose expense? I probably would have had him in ahead of Green. I'm just not quite sure where Green fits into this 15. We're into the 11. Look, he's very good in terms of he's a real good gap filler, but I'm just not quite sure in what circumstances he would actually play and where he would bat. I'm just not sure he's quite dynamic enough down the order and then up the order. I think they've got other options. So I probably would have him in Green. I think Short's pretty unlucky as well. I could certainly have mounted a case for Short. Perhaps even, it seems harsh, perhaps even ahead of Ellis, who's done very well, but I'm not convinced they're going to play Ellis because of the big three quicks. And maybe it was one of those cases where if there's an injury, you can just bring Ellis in. One thing that's to keep an eye on, though, is that this is a provisional squad. There is scope to change it for May 25. And then even beyond that, if there's an injury mid-tournament, they can take a player out and put a new one in. But they would be ruled out for the tournament. And then they may take a travelling reserve or two over there, which could well be Fraser McGurk. So you haven't necessarily heard the last of him, but for now he is on the outer and the odds are against him a bit.
Right, jeez. It's going to be fantastic. Hey, yeah. We'll touch base, no doubt, before it, mate. But really appreciate you giving us some of your time on such a busy night.
No worries, guys. Pleasure.
You're a good
cheers,
man.
Dan.
There we go. Daniel Cherney from Code Sports. Updating us on Australia's T20 World Cup squad, which was announced today.